Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to the Transits episode for February. Before we dive in to Jenny and I, of course, it's time to have a bit of a word from our beautiful sponsor so we know a theme, the overarching theme according to the tarot for February. Liz Zamorski, take it away.
Well, I'm so excited, Emma, everyone. The theme of February is detox. I'm talking emotional, I'm talking physical, I'm talking get some trash bags or reusable canvas bags, get in your closets and clean them out. Whatever it is that you do to detox your life, it's all going to just have so much potency this month and it's going to open a lot of doors that you want to walk through, okay? So there is a lens that we're looking at this through. I do have an agenda here. I'm not just telling you to open up and get rid of everything. It's so that way you can create space for all of this goodness to come in. So you're going to be guided to shut some doors, to move on from some things. Go ahead and do that because the next card that came out was the Two of Cups. And the Two of Cups is a love match, whether that's romantic love, partnership, something that you just fall in love with, the ability to fall in love with life again, whatever it is that fills your emotional cup, it's on offer here in February in a big way. Then we had the King of Wands. This is really stepping into your authority so you can claim that joy, claim that love match. Because how many times have we had something pop up for us where we say, that's perfect for me. And then we find a million reasons not to follow through with it. This time you're being guided to definitely take that step in and then keep taking every next step forward. You don't have to know what they look like. You just have to trust yourself because the Ten of Pentacles comes up next. So we started with the Ten of Wands and then boom, we hit the Ten of Pentacles. These are really this 10 energy bookends to this month saying you're coming in detoxing, you're coming in hot and you're leaving feeling so good. Ten of Pentacles is really that attainment, that feeling of like, oh my gosh, life is so good. In every area, I feel fulfilled, or I feel like I'm on the road to feeling fulfilled because I'm allowing it. You've got some decisions to make. There's a lot of community being highlighted this month. So call on your people, call in your support. If you don't currently have that, ask the universe. Say, can you place me in a position where I can feel like I have some support here in the 3D? It's great what's going on the other side. I feel it. I receive it. I'm grateful. But it would be really wonderful if I could also have those people show up as well. So just set that out to the universe and start watching what unfolds for you, because it feels like attainment, fulfillment, joy, authority, and community are all on offer this month as you detox.
Wow. Oh my God. I love that. And it's so in alignment. I was listening to an astrological kind of forecast, and he was talking about how everything's going to take off at the beginning of this year. So it sounds like it's really in alignment. Now, just before I get into my session with Liz this month, if you want a session with Liz this month, then follow the links in the show notes, go book in. I have a session with her every single month, and it's just so beautiful to get this wisdom through this incredible, clean, high consciousness channel, and of course, a lot of laughs along the way. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks Liz for being here, and enjoy the Transits podcast. Hey, hey everyone, and welcome to this month's Transits episode. We are going to be talking all about, wow, February already? Are we talking about February already? Oh my God. Welcome the amazing Jenny Crowther. Yeah, thanks for being here, my friend.
Hi, Emma. Hi, Transits team. I am excited. I actually feel ready to go for this one.
I love it.
I was reflecting on the December one and I was like, wow, it felt like far too soon to be talking about January when we were doing December, and now we're here. I'm like, okay, I finally feel that forward momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be an amazing year. So let's kick it off. Do we want to reflect? Do you want to lead us through some reflections of December 2022?
No, because that would be way too far back. Let's talk about January.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah. Thanks. Details.
I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it's so, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I love the fact that we're on opposite sides of the planet in different environments, different hemispheres, different weathers. Because as you experienced, Em, when you and your lovely family came over here into the darkest part of the year, you were like, oh my God, it's so dark.
Yes. Oh my God, it was so dark.
And it is. It's so dark. It's so dark. And so to resist that is quite foolish, I think. Challenging and foolish.
Well, it's Mother Earth, right? We can't resist it. We have to go with it.
So I've just been wintering, really wintering. You know, January really is the period of time where I just stop. And the retrogrades of Mars and Mercury have been assisting in that, I think, that feeling of clear out, that feeling of like one. I use the gardening analogy because I've also been doing this in the garden, like getting bags of manure and clearing all the beds from last year and all the turning the soil and putting the manure in and putting them to bed and letting them kind of regenerate without having to work. So it's that feeling for my own body, let myself regenerate without feeling like I have to work. Not feeling, I think I said in the last podcast, it feels like less output, more input. It actually wasn't even either. It wasn't even that much input. I wasn't really listening to that much stuff. It's only been in the last week or so that I've started listening to podcasts and stuff again. I really stopped. I stopped consuming information. I stopped outputting information. And I just put it around and did lots of practical things. And I feel like that was a vibe. Like a lot of my friends were calling me up like, hey, Jenny, do you want to come and rearrange my wardrobe? Hey, do you want, my mum empties all the spices out. She's like, will you do the spice cupboard? You know? So it's that, for me, it's been that kind of energy up here in the Northern Hemisphere. Just this feeling like, and obviously I'm gate 62. I love a good clear out. I'm probably the most tidy, organized person in the world. So I am the person you can ring and I will come round and help you rearrange your wardrobe.
I love it.
So I've just been doing a lot of that, really.
Oh, I love it. I you know, it's interesting. I was just reflecting on it, and it's funny. Although, I mean, yes, through, well, at least the beginning of January, we were in Europe, and my entire trip, it was the first time in, I don't know, like literally, I don't know, years, could be decades, that I completely switched off. It was just divine. And it's interesting, even being back here, you know, slowly getting back into work, it feels like the, you know, the opposite hemisphere version of that, like much rather just be lying on a beach doing nothing, you know? And I had this crazy day today where I kind of just woke up tired, and I had quite a big day on, and I thought, oh, okay, and just put one foot in front of the other. And then the universe just stepped in, you know? I went to my PT session, and that was great. And I got home, and I'd been locked out of the house, and I was like, oh my God, I've got a client in half an hour. That client had to cancel, postpone. So I went into town and bought myself brekkie and had a coffee and came home for my next client and had a shower, got ready. She didn't turn up. And I was like, okay, ripper. Went to the beach, had a swim. And, you know, I've had time to go and pick up my son from, he's been at riding camp and all of these things. So I've just felt like today's kind of been a bit of a metaphor for me for January, you know, like, sure, you can just rebook later, whatever. I'm just going to the beach. So
same honestly, thing happened to me.
Every day.
No, that would be quite impractical and inefficient. But the same thing happened to me. I had, I think, 5 clients booked in over the kind of tail end of December into January, and every single one of them postponed. So that same feeling, like everyone's a bit like, yeah, manana, like, let's do this later.
And I feel much better for it, I must be honest. I was using this metaphor. I was talking to Liz Zamorski on my session with Liz yesterday, and I can't remember how I got there, but I was saying how, you know, it's the little things, you know, have more fun, play more, that sort of thing. And I was sharing this story about how on our way home from the holiday, I was sitting in the lounge, and Just says, oh, do you want a coffee? And I was like, no, of course I don't want a coffee. The coffee here is terrible. Meanwhile, the coffee in all, everywhere, no, I was going to say all of Europe, that's unfair. In London, Barcelona, Madrid, and Switzerland, Crans, Montana specifically, is crap. It was so bad. And anyway, he says, do you want a coffee? I'm like, no, you know what I'm going to have? I'm going to have a tea. You know, we're in London. I'm going to actually have English breakfast tea. I'm going to put cow's milk in it, which I'm telling you, I haven't drunk that for at least 15 years. And I'm going to put a sugar in it. Like, I'm going to have a proper English tea, right?
Proper builder's brew.
Oh my God. It was so good. And it was such a lesson for me. It was such a metaphor. And I was saying this to Liz, like, sometimes I work so hard at doing these things that I literally squeeze the joy out of it, you know? So I've come home and I'm like, that's it. I live in freaking Byron Bay, so I'm just going to go to the farmer and get unpasteurized milk. I'm going to have my freaking tea with my coconut sugar. I'm going to freaking have it because I love it. And I feel like that's a massive metaphor for me for this year as well. Like, did I enjoy my tea with almond milk and no sugar? That was okay. But every time I drink this cup of tea, I'm like, this is heaven in a cup. So I just feel like this is a massive, massive metaphor for me in my life. Like, stop trying so freaking hard and bring back the joy.
Yeah. That food and drink thing, I had that. I've been through that whole experience over the years. I was very, very strict, no sugar, like super healthy, loads and loads and loads of vegetables. I was too restrictive and I was too controlled, and I didn't, like you say, I didn't suck the joy out of certain experiences. So that moment when you relax and trust your body, just like, my body can handle this. Like, wouldn't enjoy this if it was so much, if it wasn't.
Totally. Like, I wouldn't even know what lactose intolerance was like. You know, I've never been anywhere near lactose intolerance. So it's not even like there's a good reason. And it's not to say that, I mean, I still eat coconut everything as opposed to dairy, but oh my God, such a metaphor.
I think you're quite right. It's, you know, your word of the year thing that you had in one of your
Bloom
podcasts,
Bloom and Marvel.
Do you know what mine was? And I was what? I was totally resisting it because
I was resisting bloom. Way too girly for me.
I was just resisting the whole concept of a word of the year. But then
of course you were.
But of course I was, because I resist literally, I don't know if people know this, I resist literally everything Emma does.
Everything.
I don't know why.
Everything. I just can't help myself. I trigger her. I trigger you like there's no tomorrow.
I love it so much. I just think all my best relationships are the ones that do this to me, that like really push my buttons. I love them. They're my favourites. Anyway, beside the point, I was out walking on a long walk in the beautiful sunshine. And as I was putting my feet on the earth, I was like, I was walking like a child, like almost skipping. And I was just like, dee, dee, dee. And you know, when you're just taking so much pleasure out of having a body and the legs that work and just so delighted with every single step. And the word joy popped in and then wouldn't go away. It was like ringing a bell in my head, like joy, joy, joy. And I'm like, oh, don't you dare. Because I'm like a miserable cynical. And I was actually pissed off that my word of the year was joy.
It's hilarious. I love it. She's pissed off at joy, people. She's pissed off at joy. And what do we have to do when things trigger us? We have to lean in, Jenny, lean in.
That's why I'm still here, Emma. Leaning in.
I love it. Hilarious.
So apparently it's joy, which part of me is pissed off about and the other part of me is like, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously. My God, any life that has more joy in it is going to be, you know, what a great year.
And the simple joy, like that for me, simple joy is the thing. I always have had this thing about walking. I don't know, maybe I wasn't able to walk in a past life or something. Not that past lives really are a thing, you know, but I digress. As in they're all concurrent based on my current understanding of time where everything is happening at once.
Yeah.
So there might be many other lives. In one of my other lives, I can't walk. So in this life where I can walk, I feel joy. I'm grateful. I'm like, oh, my God, I love doing this.
Mm, I love that. Isn't that funny? I was doing exactly the same thing the other day. I was walking. Mm. And I was, of course, like, look, I cringe at myself. I was listening to the Kabbalion. I was being a diligent little learner. And I was like, oh, my God, I cannot be bothered listening to this shit. Like, seriously. And I don't mean it that way. Like, I'm sorry, God, universe, source, Kabbalion. It's not shit. It's brilliant. But I was like, screw it. And I just put music on. And it was, again, in that same vein of, like, I'm just going to have fun. And I literally worked out a way that I can like dance and skip without people really knowing I'm dancing and skipping. It was really cool because where I walk of a morning is often quite busy. So I was like, yeah. And that was the morning that I saw like two little baby birds sitting on a sign. I saw these different pods of dolphins. It was like, and they weren't just like swimming. They were flipping and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's it. So yeah, let's bring joy and dancing and all of those good things in this year.
Back in the day when I used to go to the gym and have a gym membership, I used to dance on the treadmill.
Oh, I love that.
Like, just like do all these kind of weird, I think it was Tracy, whatever her name is, kind of movements, like side skipping and trying to run backwards and stuff on it. I mean, I made a fool of myself, but I had the most fun.
Yeah, who cares, right? Oh my God, I love Tracy. I think you're talking about Tracy Anderson. I joined up her thing for a while and because I was like, that looks so much fun, but I just couldn't. Yeah. And I'm a really coordinated human. I could not get that working. I couldn't.
I am not coordinated.
But clearly you worked it out.
Zumba. But I'm coordinated in my own little way.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, we really do digress. Yeah. So there's the vibe. We stopped, we reassessed, and what flowered out of that, it seems, was joy for both of us.
Exactly. Bring that shit on.
So my take on where we're at as a collective is that we are, I hope and I feel, really in a year of like recovery and regeneration and renewal. And we're like, say we've just had 2 years of open heart surgery. We're now in the recovery ward. That's what I feel like. I feel like this year we have the potential to start the slow road out of what we've just been through. That's I actually like, you know, every the past 2 years, 21, 22, people were like, yeah, we're out. Yeah, we're out. 2020's over. I'm like, yeah, we're still in. And now I feel like, okay, I think we might just be about to come like really into, as a, I mean, I'm talking collectively here, not personally, but I feel like there's not going to be that many more knives in the abdomen this year.
Well, I reckon it's that for me, I feel like one of the things that I'm going to be talking a lot about this year is just let's consciously think about this new paradigm, you know, because I feel like this year is going to be very, very pivotal for that that new paradigm and what side of history, you know, because we're seeing some of the big controlling structures fall, you know, like I posted this little video that was I think it was CNN or something, like mainstream media reporting on the World Economic Forum and how, you know, basically evil they are. And I was like, holy crap. Yeah, so I feel like there is, you know, these things are happening. But one of the really big pieces for me is like, we have to know, and everyone listening, tell everyone you know, that we have to consciously choose to be that and to create that, because the mistake we've made in the past, and I literally used to say this, like I remember when Justin and I first got together and he was like, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't bungee jumping or something like that. And he was like, do you want to go do that? And I was like, he didn't want to do it. And I was like, well, they wouldn't let us do it if it wasn't safe. And he was like, yeah, they would. And I look back to that naive version of me who genuinely thought that, well, they wouldn't do that to us if it wasn't safe. And I now realize that, like, that's what waking up is all about, is waking up to understand that we have to be the authority in our own life. Mm. And we're lucky because we have human design. So we have a roadmap of how we can build that trust and faith in ourselves and the universe. However, what I really want people focusing on is that we can't just sit back and assume things anymore. We have to consciously know that governments and media and big business are trying to separate us, are trying to keep us in fear, are trying to pit us against each other, are trying to feed us misinformation and then tell everyone else that, you know, that's the other people, not them. You know, all of these strategies that have been happening for a really long time, they're all coming to light. And we know they're coming to light and it's slowly seeping. However, we just all need, for me, I feel like it's time for us to step up and go, yeah, no, I really need to learn. I really need to uncover. I really need to make up my own mind, you know, via my strategy and authority and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like 2023 is going to be a big year for that. You know, it's a 7-year as well, I believe. So, it's a good, you know, it's what luck. And I always think for me, 7's very divinely guided. So again, it's like listening to the universe, listening to our authority, our intuition, instead of listening to others outside of us, like listen to our response to the others outside of us before we go believing anything or anyone or even our own ego for that matter. So I agree. I think 2023 is the beginning of something, like it's rounding out. And things are still falling apart, but I also think that you're right. Like this is where the new road is starting to be paved, and I feel that we all have a responsibility to consciously pave that road and create this new paradigm. And, you know, so when the energy does really come in, we can surf that wave. We don't have to just, you know, then we don't have to build the momentum once we get there. The momentum's already built. So,
yeah, I mean, I really feel you. And, you know, we spoke a little bit before we hit record about, you know, a lot of the stuff I've been consuming in terms of what I'm listening to and the way that my perspective is right now. And it's this awareness, like I said, about time and the quantum field, where time and space is this linear kind of earth timeline, human vibe that we're in. But there is this quantum field underneath it, which is a pure field of potentiality. And what we will reap in our apparent future timeline on this earth, in this body, is based on what we've sown in the past in terms of the seeds of our consciousness. So if we're planting fearful seeds, we reap the benefits of that, or not benefits, we reap it. But where we're at now, like Emma's saying, reach underneath the fear mongering and the divisive talk and the war-like language, you know, anyone that's saying, using warlike language to describe something, is planting the seeds of war and division.
Yeah.
So 100%. We each, like Emma says, I agree completely, have a responsibility to plant seeds of togetherness, collectiveness, love, respect, compassion. You know, with everything we do and think and say, like every single moment of our life, we have opportunity. We don't even have to do anything out in the world. We can be sitting in our house, just consciously planting these seeds and helping to release the seeds of fear, because that's what the old paradigms are built on. So I really feel for 2023. I agree with you. I think that we're in this place where it's like that sense of collective conscious responsibility is rising. And I'm excited for what that's going to bring in the future.
Me too.
So this is a transits podcast. Let's mention some planets.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where we are now in the wheel of the year, is we're on the cusp of the new, basically. Emma and I are recording this on the third day after the Rave New Year. So the Rave New Year was on the 22nd. And this is, in human design terms, when the sun moves into gate 41.1, 41 being the start codon genetically. So this is why human design says that the energy for something new to begin is on the 22nd of January, because it's this start codon. It's the only gate of the 64 that's related to the genetic start codon. Mm-hmm. There's three stop codons, incidentally, but the only one that starts anything is 41. So we're also on the cusp, which I'll talk about in a minute, of Q1.
Can I jump in for a second? While you're on it, because I got this question. I can't remember where I got the question, but I didn't answer it. I can't remember answering it. Can you briefly explain, because it's not actually part of the podcast topic, but the stop codon and the three stop codons and the one start codon, like what does that actually mean? Like I understand that it's the starting and the finishing of cycles, correct? Or do you want to talk to a little bit about
that? I'm not a geneticist, so my understanding of it, but my understanding of when genes are like replicating their sequence, when they get to a particular sequence, if they get to the stop codon sequence, it's the cell's suicide note, if you like. The cell, if it gets to a stop codon, goes die. So like skin cells are dying all the time. Cells in our body is dying all the time. So the stop codons are the ones that say, okay, you're done. Kill yourself. Done. And then the start codon is the one that says, grow a new whatever.
Yeah.
So it's the genetic information in our body that says either kill this cell or grow a new one of these cells, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, brilliant. Love it. Thank you. So for whoever asked that question, there you go. There's the answer.
Because we obviously haven't proven yet that the 64 positions in the sky correlate with the genetic information in our body, but that is the theory that was postulated by Ra and also by Richard Rudd, who both got downloads of similar information. So one of the aspects of human design is not just that it's a synthesis of these historical wisdom systems, but also that it is a literal genetic blueprint for our physical form. And so one of the things that is postulated is your body graph, your blueprint for your life, the gates that you have activated will probably at some point prove that is they're the diseases you're likely, or the illnesses that you're likely to get, the correlations. So for example, I have gates, like you also have gate six hanging, I think.
I do.
That's associated with PHS, PHS, what am I on about? What's it called? pH level. So the pH level of the body, acid to alkaline. And I have really struggled with over acidity in my body. There are certain things that I can't consume because they're too acidic for me. Now, it's potentially because my solar plexus is undefined, so I can't, but that's been one thing. There's another one of my gates, I forget which one it is, that's closely associated with the gallbladder, and I've had so many liver gallbladder issues. And gallbladder, when my whole system goes out, so I've been looking at what human design teaches about the biological correlation of the gates, and seeing if that correlates to my experience of illness within the body and the things that tend to go wrong.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? I did that. God, I think when I first started my experiment, and like my cycle right now is like, oh, I want to go down that rabbit hole. So I'm going back down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because I remember really early on, I'm like, God, how good would that be if we could literally map what our tendencies could be.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, so that's kind of where human design like came in, with this whole side of these are the areas of the body that, like, if this is defined or undefined, this is what we reckon. But I don't know how much research has been done by Jovian or the IHDS or whoever, but that's why you can, I don't know if anyone here listening has ever seen the wheel just with its amino acids, just with its, you know, the arginine, lysine, etc.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet with research and proof from our current scientific model, but this is the theory anyway.
Mm.
So back to where we are. That's why we're in start energy, because we've all just had, I mean, we're currently in it as we're recording, but when you listen to this, we'll have all just had a week of the sun in gate 41, like highlighting the start energy, the energy of begin something new.
Oh my God. And so much for me, that's been the whole topic, like the whole topic. Every day, every morning I'm meditating. Everything that I'm contemplating, it's just dreaming a new dream, you know, like not a massively new dream, but just a very significant new dream. Yeah. So like far out. I love that.
Yeah.
You can't make that shit up.
Well, also to say that we're part of the ethos, I think, of doing transits, like studying transits, following transits, is also to allow it to be retrospective. And Emma and I say this quite a lot, but live according to strategy and authority. Don't try and use the transits with your mind to overplan and override your authority, your inner
100%,
authority.
100%. I couldn't say that more. Like, I think that's the one thing for me that I'm grateful for the way that we do it and why it's different. But that's the one fear that I have with this podcast, because I worry that people get dependent on it, that they will plan their month by it. And that's not the way. You know, I remember Bruce Lipton, I was watching something Bruce Lipton was talking about, and he was actually, I think it was him that was talking about that the higher our consciousness goes, the more we rise above our astrological influences. So that's going to be the same for our human design.
Completely.
The higher our consciousness 100%. Goes, the more we're actually lifting out. And if you've read the Gene Keys, like, I mean, probably the same for you, Jen, but I've read the Gene Keys back to front, I don't know how many times, because I'm constantly building something else. So I'm not just looking at mine, I'm looking at everyone's. And the acidic state is exactly the fucking same for every single thing with a tiny twin, you know, like, so this is the other piece that I think is so important, that the mind is what wants to keep us trapped in our design just as much as everything else, you know? So again, that's why I love, this is a map. This is a map to help us raise our consciousness and then get to a point where we don't need the map because we just trust our strategy and authority.
Yep. Yeah. And this is a tool, like we're learning about the program through the transits. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not using the transits to run our lives. We're using strategy and authority. And like you say, my observation, and also I will talk about this later because I'm going to talk about the Rave New Year chart for 2022 versus 2023. But one of the big things there is this is the blueprint for the homogenized world. This is showing us the influence on the homogenized world. We, as people following strategy and authority, are dehomogenizing and like almost operating between the cracks, if you like.
Yeah.
We see the influence, but we're not being influenced by it.
Oh my God, I love that you just said that. I love that you just said that, because, you know, I think that for me personally, like a lot of the time, and you know, I've got it in my calendar and things will happen, and I will literally be like, yeah, no, I've got nothing. No, I don't feel that. Yeah. I don't feel that.
Yeah.
And it's not because that I'm not in alignment. I don't feel it because I am in alignment, because I'm not being influenced or, you know, governed by energy outside of me, you know, like I maybe was when I was younger and a lot more emotional and all of that and sad and very shadow state. So yeah, I think that that's, you know, that's what I love about this, is because it also can give us, you know, insights into those around us. We can kind of understand what's going on. You know, sometimes when you are in those, like I know a lot of the time, if I do hit a speed hump, I'm like, what's going on? Is something influencing me?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's kind of how I use it as well. Like I feel this shift in me and I'm like, wait, what just happened? Who's where?
Yeah.
Like a couple of days ago, I woke up with a huge knot in my solar plexus, and it happened for about 3 mornings in a row. And I'm like feeling kind of, and I'm undefined in the solar plexus, right? I feel slightly nauseous. I'm kind of upset. I can feel that something is emotionally off. I sit with it. So I just get up, meditate with it, sit with the feeling. And eventually it breaks and I cry. And what I was crying about was the fact that what I'm ambitious for is not what most people are ambitious for. And it can make me feel kind of isolated, or like a bit like I don't fit in, or like I don't know where I belong. Why is it that everyone seems to want all this stuff, like house and kids and money and all this and success? And I'm just like, that's not what I'm ambitious for. So I'm crying about this stuff. And then I'm like, who's doing this? I get the ephemeris out. And Venus has just gone into the first of the solar plexus gates. And we're about to go through the sun solar plexus process, which we do at the beginning of every Q1. And Venus is a bit ahead of the sun at the moment. So Venus had gone in the first morning that I'd felt this solar plexus knot, had gone into gate 49. So we've got the planet of values in the gate of tribal principles, and me, the emotion in me, where my values don't fit the tribal principles, coming up. And so that's how I use the transits, is I watch my lived experience and then I look at the ephemeris and I'm like, who's where and what am I experiencing? And I consider it to all be like a clear out, like a flush through,
yeah,
to release that energy. So it's not like I'm always grateful for it. I'm like, oh great, that's leaving my body, excellent.
Yeah,
so yeah, let's talk about February.
Let's do it. My birthday month.
It is. What are you, Pisces?
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm a Pisces
little fishy.
I've got a Cancer moon or something like that. Like I am water. Again, with my session yesterday with Liz, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I can't have candles. If I could put a bucket, I nearly put a bucket of water next to my desk. I was like, I just need water. I need water. Mm-hmm. I need water.
Just sit with your feet in a bucket of water. I'd like that.
Oh my god, that would be good.
Yeah. So, as I've kind of hinted at, we are about to go into Q1. So if you're looking at the wheel of the year to the northwest of it, you will see the Q4 closing off. We're nearly there. And I think it's the 2nd of February we move. The sun moves into gate 13, which is the gate of the listener. And it's a G-center gate, so it's starting a new part, a new section. So if you want to go back and listen to last year's podcast, where we talked through all the sun-earth gates for February in detail, that's episode 163, and it's from about 35 minutes in, the sun earth bit of 163. So if you, like I said in the past, I don't want to say the same thing every year about the sun earth, because the sun earth does the same thing every year. That's the kind of the sameness, if you like, that's the consistency in the wheel. Everything else subject to change. So I'm more talking about the other bits. As we evolve the podcast. So if you want to go back and do the sun earth process, 163 from 35 minutes in. I'll summarize though. When we enter any new quarter, we always get a G center gate. And that G center gate in this case is the gate 13. This is the gate of deep listening. And the G center, of course, is related to our direction. So it's almost like it gives direction for this bit of the season. So the direction for this bit of the season is deep listening. And then after the sun is done in gate 13, it goes through gates of the solar plexus. It goes through nearly all of them. I think it's except gate 6. I think it goes through gate 6 later in the year, but it goes through everything else pretty much in the next 6 weeks. So up until mid-March, until we get to the equinox, we have what we call the solar plexus process, what I call the solar plexus process. So we begin with a deep listening to our emotions. I think that's telling in itself.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like that's everything we were talking about with 2023. Like, stop fucking you know, blindly listening out there and start listening in here. That's mm-hmm. instantly when you said gate 13, I'm like, boom, there it is.
Yeah. And it's like, it fascinates me, the name of the Q1. It's the quarter of initiation is called Purpose Fulfilled Through Mind.
Yeah.
And that fascinates me because it begins with, you know, nearly every gate of the solar plexus. And I feel like it's talking to what we experience when we experience emotion, which is the emotion triggers a feeling in the body. And depending on how we relate to our emotions, most of us, until we get really into feeling our emotions, like Emma said before, think our emotions, as in we think our feelings, as in the emotion, if it's an unpleasant one, triggers a defense mechanism internally that says, quick, distract me from this feeling. And so the mind starts telling a story.
Yeah.
So that is my theory on why Q1 might be called Purpose Fulfilled Through Mind, because it's how our mind is relating to what we're feeling.
I love that. And I want to add something because I've contemplated this so much because I'm in the, you know, I'm in the quarter of the mind, you know, like this is part of my purpose, right?
Yeah.
And I've, you know, when I first read it, I was like, oh yeah, duh. And then when I sat with it, like what's the biggest, the biggest challenge I've had in my life was, you know, mental dis-ease, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I think one of the things that I really learned about, you know, as I contemplated it, is that it's through the mind, but the mind that we refer to and like spiritual teachings refer to, not the mind that we talk about in everyday life, which is actually more the ego, if you know what I mean. And the difference for me, I think like this, because the piece for me is like the solar plexus is an awareness center, it's spirit consciousness. So it's like what is sparked in that spirit consciousness? What is sparked in that mind? What is the beginning of something? Because the thing that I really resonate with this quarter is that it's people who they want to learn and teach. You know, it's people that are like inspired, they want to learn about something and then they want to teach whatever that idea or that concept or whatever it is. So I also think that, you know, that's what the solar plexus alignment is, that it's like it's the spirit consciousness that sparks the curiosity and then that's where, you know, the mind, because it's not it's source mind, not subconscious mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. It's not the trauma response mind.
Yeah, exactly.
That's trying to protect us through fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like my understanding of the solar plexus center is that it currently in its current state has awareness potential, but isn't fully operating as an awareness center, as in we're moving in 2027 into the solar plexus as our predominant awareness center.
Yeah.
We used to be in the spleen, which was our predominant awareness center, which was just pure instinct.
Yeah.
We've spent 90,000 years or something ridiculous with the Ajna as our predominant awareness center. And we're now in this process of moving into that awareness.
Yeah.
But we're not quite there yet. We're still in this process of transitioning into it.
Yeah, because we're still at the mercy of our emotions. You know, that's my understanding. It's like the transition is where we move from this place of being at the mercy of our emotions to being receptive to the guidance of the feeling that's moving through us, as opposed to being at its mercy or, you know, like the indulge or repress and those sort of things. Like what we're doing at the moment is we're learning how to feel. That's how I simplify down. Because yes, we're learning how to feel through our emotions, but it's actually taking us into this next step. It's us being able to feel the frequency. It's being able to feel the subtle energy, feel, you know, all of those things. And that's when we're really connected to God, universe, source, the quantum, and that sort of thing. That's how I see it anyway. That's how it feels to me.
Agreed. And also to say that my understanding of what was taught was that it won't even be us. It's like we're not even biologically, like we're not even genetically it. We're the transitional, we're Homo sapiens in transitus. The beings that come in that actually operate on pure solar plexus awareness will have a very, very different type of consciousness than the one we currently have. But we are the essential bridge, as far as I understand it. This purification of the solar plexus and our relationship to feeling and emotion is the bridge that allows that to come in.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm not going to talk about all the solar plexus gates, but I am going to talk about 49 and 30 because of Saturn. So on the 20th of January, which just passed, Saturn moved from gate 49 into gate 30. We've spoken about this on and off over the last year or so because Saturn's been dancing in and out of these gates for a while. So since March last year, if we're talking about 49. So from March last year, March to May, it was in 49. Then again from July to October. And then recently from November through to this date, the 20th of January. And that's it. That's like Saturn's had its return into 49. So it's about a 30-year cycle, as Saturn is. We all know about our Saturn returns. So we have we have a global Saturn return, right? So I've been looking at the themes of this. 49 is all about the revolution based on personal principles and tribal principles and leadership in that area. So depending
doesn't
on
sound
your,
at all familiar.
So depending on your principles, that will show up for you personally in a different way. But then we can look at that collectively and see these revolutions. We've talked about this in a couple of times on the podcast.
Yeah.
Bring it on. One of the gates. So we have 13, as I mentioned, which is the gate of the confidant, the gate of deep listening. It's the gate of secrets. It's where secrets are kept until it's time to reveal the truth. And then so we have a little sandwich, 39 on one side, 49, sorry, 13 on one side, 49, and then gate 30, which is the gate of the fates, if you like. So we can say that with this little sandwich, every 30 years or so, Saturn goes through these gates and has a little dance in and out of them and reveals a big truth that challenges the status quo and is the existing establishment and is a revolution based on personal principles.
Mm.
Now, a certain famous royal, British royal, has been revealing truths, standing up for his principles in his tribal relationships, and exposing.
Yeah.
I looked at the dates. There's some pretty strong correlations between the movement of Saturn and, you know, the Oprah interview, the book coming out, the Netflix series coming out.
Oh, I love it.
And so Saturn being like the old order and the status quo, and you can really see how one individual, and it's almost always one individual who shakes anything, like Ra Uruhu.
Yeah.
It's almost always one individual that starts off a change that takes hold within the collective.
Yeah. Do you know what Harry's, sorry, I have to jump in because I geeked out on this. Do you know what Harry's cross is?
I feel like I should because I have looked at his chart, but I can't remember.
It's the same as Justin's. No.
No.
Obscuration.
Obscuration.
So it's all about bringing truth to light.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I'm like, stop it.
Mm.
And like, anyway, I've got so much to say on that book. I think it's such.
Whole other podcast.
Well, and it's such an example of what's going on in the world. You know, like, have you read it?
No, I.
So you can tell who wrote it. He didn't have he didn't have someone else write it for him. Like, it's not very well written. But the story itself, like, he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
And yet from the moment, in fact, from 2 days before it hit, the media have been doing exactly what he tells you. He shows you completely behind the curtain. And then the media does exactly the same thing it's always done and manipulated his truths and made him look like the bad guy. And people are believing that.
Yeah, of course.
This is the whole freaking point.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what's happening. You are being manipulated to believe things that aren't true, you know? Like, I mean, I don't really, whether I like him or don't like him or like or don't like Meghan Markle, it's irrelevant. But this
story, they're exposing a truth.
So powerful. So powerful.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
But I think it's, no, I don't think you do, because I think it's an important point. Like, once you've peeped behind the curtain, you can't unsee it. And I studied media and society at university. So since I was 19. Yeah, exactly. We both did. So we've known about the manipulative tactics in the advertising industry, the PR industry, the spin industry, and the media generally. And so until you know what's going on behind the curtain, it's easy. We're we have a collective nervous system. We have very susceptible brain neurons that will literally believe anything they're told.
Exactly. They know how to manipulate you. It's their job to make money. How do they make money? Ratings. How do they get ratings? You watch it, you believe it, you get addicted to it. Like, you know,
so the question for all of us is
psychology is because of, I worked in the fucking media. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, sure. So anyway, 49 and 30 and 13.
You're trying to bring me back under control, aren't you? I can see
just a little bit.
I'm triggering you. Back in the room, Emma. Sit down. Calm down. Okay.
Can you see what hands are doing? Like I've got reins on the horse.
Stop.
Hold the head. It's your podcast. You can do what you want.
You go for it. I'm not at all offended. Let's keep going.
So if we look at 49, in its high expression, it is taking a compassionate approach to the shortcomings of others and yet still holding them to account. You know, 49 is a tribal gate. Many of the people listening will have that in their birth chart and have it as a strong theme in their life. So it is this revolution of principles, this thing that says, these are my principles. And if you aren't playing by, if you don't meet these principles, I can't be in relationship with you anymore.
Yeah.
And I love you and I'm sorry, but I've got to let you go because these are my principles. So that's the high expression.
And that's exactly how the book's written as well. I just want to just throw in there. Like he's,
that's what I'm feeling. He's
so,
he's doing.
Like he's so sweet to his parents, about his mom, about his brother. It doesn't, it's not, it doesn't feel like an attack. It just feels like I had to share it.
Well, I think he's had enough therapy to be able to do that. Right.
Yeah.
But the shadow expression of that gate is holding people to unachievable standards of perfection based on your own wounds and projections. So
the royal family?
Well, 49's been active everywhere, right? It's Saturn's been in 49 collectively for a while. So it's been going at both levels. The royal family are an interesting, are a very interesting expression of this energy because of this perfection thing, this unachievable standard of perfection. Like I was watching something on the news last night about the royal seal of approval, which because the queen has died, that runs out. And then the king will, based on the king's household, if Charles uses your that product, they will renew the royal standard, blah, blah, blah. They're interviewing people about it. And the unbelievable glorification of this one family based on what they use, and the people were talking about, oh yeah, well, because it's for the royal family, it has to be absolutely perfect. Everything we do has to be absolutely perfect. And all I can see, because I look at the world through human design lens, is this, the shadow of 49 being this unachievable standard of perfection based on your own wounds and projections. And that is the whole facade that Harry is bringing down.
Exactly.
Is the royal family is portrayed as being this perfect example of a family, God given, as the kind of the whole reason they're in the position that they're in is they're said to be, you know, anointed by God or whatever. So it's just coming down, is what I'm saying. It's like
it down.
It's coming down. And then of course I was like, oh well, if it's Saturn, it's obviously having a return. So what happened 30 years ago?
Do tell me.
Well, yeah. In 1992, the Morton book came out about Diana, then the tapes of Diana and James Hewitt, followed by the tapes of Charles and Camilla, and eventually the end of their marriage. Saturn in exactly the same part of the sky.
Wow.
Gets 13 and 49. Revealing and the truth like about even, the establishment.
Yeah, and it's even like revisiting that truth again as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so it's basically this what I'm seeing now is just the Saturn return of that whole thing.
Yeah, wow. Wow, that's fascinating. I love it.
Yeah. And then I mean, I don't follow the politics of every other country, but I'm sure you can look at your own Saturn return and see what was happening 30 years ago in 1992 and
Yeah. I don't remember what the politics are doing when I finished school.
Yeah.
Anywho.
So on a personal level, you might also have that going on. Like what emotional theme in your relationships has been brewing since March last year and has come to a head over the last month? There may be some. What are the principles that you're like, I've got to deal with this. I can't just sweep this under the carpet again.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Human Design Podcast. I want to share something really amazing with you. And it's actually one of our new Millions of Millionaires sponsors. So to introduce this body graph chart software that we've been using that's been mind-blowing. So I want to welcome the amazing Taylor Dyson, who is my incredible operations manager. Welcome along, Taylor.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. This is actually something that we implemented when?
April.
Yeah.
And this year.
We were just trialing it out because they'd reached out to us in regards to sponsoring the podcast or something like that, wasn't it? And so it kind of wasn't even on our radar. And we tried it out and we had such low expectations. And then what happened?
Well, I remember sending you a message going, Emma, why are we not using this? Because I was mind blown. You know, we get a lot of requests for stuff like that. And, you know, there's new softwares all the time. And I clicked on it, like you said, with very low expectations. And I started looking through what they can do. And I got so excited. You know, the MG in me was like, oh my God, we have to use this. And I saw the potential of it. And it has delivered more than expected. It's really awesome.
Amazing. Now, before we get into the actual numbers, because I know numbers with Taylor is a thing in our business. She loves to share all the numbers. Let's just tell the listeners exactly who it's for and what it is.
Yeah. So it's a great tool for anyone who uses human design in their business. So if you're a human design reader, a human design coach, or just someone who uses human design in your business, if you, you know, incorporate it into whatever you do, it's a way for you to embed an actual human design chart tool into your website. So, you know, if you want someone to get their human design chart, you probably send them to an outside platform somewhere, you know, oh, go to this website, put in your details and get your chart, whatever that platform might be. There's a couple big ones. And what's cool about this is that it allows you to put that tool on your own website and it's yours. So when someone comes and, you know, puts their information into your website, they get their chart and then you can hook it up to your email list, to your newsletter. You can have it linked to your own content. You can customize the reports afterwards that they get, you know, so it's your own descriptions of what, you know, this type is or this profile. So that's kind of what it is.
Oh my God, I love it. And it's so cool because I actually remember when Jenna Zoe, because it must be the same software that Jenna Zoe used and before anyone else. Yeah, right. And I was always like, wow, her chart looks so beautiful and it's on her website. That's so cool. So yeah, when we started using it, I was like, this is beautiful. I'm really excited that we can do it. But let's talk hard numbers. Like we have had some serious success with this, just adding this to our business. So tell everyone a little bit about the growth that we've experienced through using this.
Yeah. So since implementing it into our website in April, there have been over 4,000 people that have downloaded their chart through the website. And that's unique. That's not, you know, someone who does it twice, because a lot of people, they'll go back because they won't download the PDF or something, or they lost it or misplaced it. That's unique chart downloads. So it's even more for double for people doing it twice. And it's been really amazing. It's more than tripled the size of the email list. And, you know, you can set up, you know, sequences afterwards for people to, you know, give them more information and keep everything in-house.
Yeah. And because one of the really big things for us is obviously human design made simple. So it gives us the opportunity to give our way of teaching human design directly to the people who want it. And I love that. I love that every single person that wants to get their chart, that downloads it, we can then support them on their journey straight away, which is, of course, what you set up because you're amazing to make sure that not only do they get their chart, but they also get this support, free content support that helps them as they're, you know, new to human design and on their journey. So beautiful. So how do people access this? What's it called? And I know that there's a benefit for listeners of the podcast.
Yes. So you can go to the link in the show notes, or you can go to bodygraphchart.com. And they have been kind enough to give the listeners of the Human Design Podcast a 50% off discount for 12 months, which is huge because it's already inexpensive to begin with. And then the 50% discount is going to put it at $25 a month. That's in US dollars. So wherever you are in the world, it'll be, you know, a little bit different, but 50% off for 12 months. And the code is Human Design Podcast. And we'll put that in the show notes too for everyone. And one of the other things I want to say that's really cool about this chart tool is that it's 100% customizable, and it actually gives Chiron, and the four arrows, which is what a lot of chart tools don't do that. So that's one thing that a lot of people are drawn to when they go to get our chart from our website is, oh, I can get the arrows because of it, or my Chiron gates.
I love that. It's so cool. So check out the show notes, people. Get on it, because really it is such a powerful and, as Taylor says, inexpensive tool. Like, it paid for itself in the first 2 days, I seem to remember, or first day, I seem to remember. So it's so valuable, and it gives you the opportunity to really build your brand and your communication with your clients. So thank you. Go check it out.
So where Saturn's going now is, like, it's done with 49. So it's now transiting gate 30 from the 20th of Jan to the 8th of March. It was also there from May to July last year. And again, it's going to be the last pass for gate 30 in this Saturn cycle. Gate 30 is the gate of deep feelings. It's the kind of desire that that will not leave us alone.
Yeah.
The keynote, the human design keynote, is freedom recognized as an illusion and limitation as a fate. So when I talk about this gate with clients, if it's part of their design, is the 41 as the start codon generates all these, like, desires. I want this, I want this, I want this. Oh, and I want that. And we could do that. And all this desire for experience. And gate 30 is the one that, like, concretizes it and says, it's this one. If you were just going to sit out that process and not run around after every desire you had for a new experience, but wait it out, because it's emotional energy, wait it out and see. The clinging fire, the gate 30 in the I Ching is called the clinging fire. What is the one desire that is clinging to you that will not leave you alone, that is consistent throughout that emotional process of, oh, I want that, and oh, I want that. And like, what's the one thing that's like, I'm not going anywhere. You still want me.
I love it. I'm going through that process in my head. I'm like, I know what that is for me.
And then if we look at it as a collective, what do we want?
What do we want as a collective? That's a really good question.
I think we want peace.
I do too.
I think people want peace. I think we're just like, do you know what? Can we stop fighting? Can we all stop fighting?
I always just wonder if that's because I see the world that way through my 37. I always just wonder. But
no, genuinely, I just think we all genuinely, like, why is it top Miss World answer?
Yeah,
I just want world peace. Why? Maybe Miss World is the voice of our generation. We just want world peace. We're all sick of the fighting.
Yeah,
we're sick of the warmongering, the language aggression. We're sick of it
being fucking pitted against each other. That's the shit for me. I'm so tired of pitting each other against each other. And bring that on. Let's have more of that.
So I think if we can all align ourselves around that, I mean, that's what I feel like. Oh, if you were to ask me, what do you want more than anything? If you could have, if you had a magic wand, one wish, what would you wish for? I mean, it's a cliche, but I just want us to stop fighting with each other.
I definitely want everyone to get along. That's the way I've felt since I was tiny. That's my highest value. Let's all just get along.
So I'm hoping that we can get access to that and don't have to wait another 30 years for Saturn to come back into gate 30 to do it.
All right. I'm with you.
That's Saturn. So I wanted to talk about that because the sun will be doing that as well at the beginning part of Q1. So the emotional process, that's where we're heading. And I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this podcast understands this, but just in case you're new, maybe you don't, you haven't heard Emma and I talk about this, what we were alluding to, this thing about, are you feeling your feelings or thinking your feelings? There's a very clear tip to know which is which, and it's if you're more interested or more focused on the language that your mind is generating rather than the physical sensations in the body, then that's a good clue as to whether you're thinking or feeling. And learning to feel means learning to become okay with sensations like heat, strong rushes of heat through the body, contraction, hardness, feeling of blockages, feeling of ugh, these kind of really quite strong physical sensations. If you're not able to feel that and you're not willing to feel that, you will always be thinking your emotions.
Yeah.
It's a it's a physical sensation, an emotion.
Yeah. And it's like one of the ways you can tell if you're not feeling your emotions is, you know, do you think you have a high pain threshold? You know, like as a kid, I broke my arm. I broke both bones. The bone was sticking through the skin. I didn't feel a bloody thing. Not a bloody thing for hours until, and I sat in an x-ray room for hours. And everyone was like, what, how are you okay? When I delivered my first son, the matron literally said, I can tell you're not having a baby by the look on your face. I'm like, dude, you're looking at the wrong end. I'm having a baby right now. And dead set said that to her. Like if you physically don't feel, like I always thought I just had a high pain threshold, which I also do, but when I started to put the pieces together, I was like, oh, I've cut, like, because you can't just cut the bad feelings.
You cut them all.
All the feelings. Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah. So just gradually opening the willingness to feel bodily sensation and understanding that the more fully you feel something, the quicker it moves through.
100%.
It takes, you know, a gradual approach to this and you're gradually opening your willingness to feel. But I can get through what a feeling, like a really uncomfortable, unpleasant emotional blech, in about 30 minutes if I really just sit and that's all I do is just feel that feeling. I mean, some of them, don't get me wrong, some of them are absolute real humdingers and they last 2 or 3 days. But not, I've never come across one that lasts more than 3 or 4 days. If I really give all of my willingness to it and be like, you are welcome here. Yeah. I am here for you. Whatever it is, let it come through.
100%. And because it's the resistance. It's the resistance to the feeling that keeps the feeling there. And you know, I was telling a story earlier today, like the game changer for me when I had panic disorder. So panic disorder is when you literally live in a panic attack all the time. So it's not just like the odd panic attack. It was intense. And the thing that, other than meditation and gratitude, that really shifted was when someone said, oh, no, you need to treat it like a friend. You need to welcome it when it's there and ask it what it's. And as soon as I did that, my anxiety subsided so significantly. So, you know, the other thing that I want to say as well is, you know, this part of me that always wants to give people really practical steps. So one of the simplest ways to feel your feelings is literally bring your conscious awareness. Like if you think about where am I right now, like your conscious awareness, you're probably in your head. You're probably in your head. You're thinking stories. So you just bring that awareness down into your heart space or down into your sacral, down into that body. You can even put your eyes facing down because when we look down, we access our kinesthetic senses. So you can look down, but just bring your awareness from the head into the body and you're going to start feeling what's going on in there, you know, because there's wisdom.
And I think, it is.
So
and it's also, it's humility and compassion and softness and vulnerability. It's all the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
So this, what we're experiencing now, like the sun is going to go through gate 30 the week of the 13th to the 18th of February. Again, we talked about this last time on the podcast, the clinging fire, the desire, all of that. But this whole process, it's like what Prince Harry is saying to the royal family is kind of what we need to say to ourselves. It's like,
100%.
Stop pretending that you don't feel anything. Stop putting on a stoic, impassive, brave face on it. It's not healthy. We're all human. We're all emotional. We're all imperfect. And anyone that wishes to be a genuine example to other people, as the royal family imagines themselves to be, has to be a real human example, not a repressed, suppressed, false, robotic, unfeeling example. That is not an example that we want now.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I feel like it's, you know, pick that up and put it into government, big business, the education system. Like,
stop pretending.
Yeah.
Stop pretending that you're not feeling anything.
Yeah.
This is painful. Feel it.
Yeah. And say something about it. You know, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So that's where we're at in terms of Saturn's party. Exciting times in the nodal world. We've got a new nodal theme coming in that will take us from the 6th of February through to the 23rd of June, so almost 5 months. We've had a relatively short nodal theme over the last 2 months, So South Node has been in gate 44, and that's going to, I mentioned when I first talked about this nodal theme, that's the South Node, because the nodes go retrograde in their journey around the clock compared to everything else, which goes forward motion. So it's going to go through all the gates of the spleen. So we're talking about the solar plexus process over here on that side of the wheel. On the other side of the wheel, you'll see the spleen process that the South Node is about to retrograde through for the next few years. So it's moving out of 44 and into gate 28, which is the gate of the game player. So if we look at what the South Node has kind of been doing over there in 44, the gate of alertness, we spent 2 months getting a greater awareness, because it's splenic, so it's awareness, of what habitual behavioral patterns don't serve us anymore that we can interrupt. So we might even have had the awareness of these patterns for a long time, and now we've finally had the impetus to break or change them. My interpretation, I have gate 44 hanging in both conscious and unconscious activation, and my observation of it in myself is that it acts as this kind of instinctive fear that the past is doomed to repeat itself, which basically closes me down to the possibility of experiencing a familiar situation in a new way in the present. And so this is the key pattern that this gate highlights. And I'm not the kind of person that, you know, the word download gets used a lot these days. Mm-hmm. I had a download. That's not really part of my language, but I definitely had a download. I was on personal silent retreat for 7 days over New Year. And about 6 days in, I had a massive breakthrough. I popped through this layer of ignorance in my body. And at the other side of it, I'm sitting in this clarity, and all of a sudden I get this voice that is definitely not my egoic mind that says, "You're not wrong because you make mistakes. You're wrong because you don't make amends." Clear as a day. And I was like, huh. And I sat and thought about that. Like, do we ever really make amends? I think a lot of us just try and sweep our mistakes under the carpet and move past them without actually making amends. I know it's part of the AA 12-step program is like, really make amends. Like, go back over everyone you've hurt and apologize if they're still alive.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that also, for me, is the collective. It's where we are. I want every body, government, like every institution, everyone that has been involved in making mistakes to take steps to make amends, not even just to apologize, but to actually try and make it better.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't do it, let's just do it on an individual level. I think that's really super powerful. I love it.
I mean, I sat and wrote a list of the people that I've hurt and thought about how I could make it up to them. And it's not a comfortable process. No. Because you have to be really comfortable with your own feelings of shame, to be honest.
Yeah. 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 I hear you. It's something that I've done in my past. And I feel like it's actually a bit of my wiring, you know, like, yeah, it's something for me that I've been very conscious of for the last few years. Like, if I do wrong unto other, then I will take responsibility for it and try to make amends. But yeah, I love how you've brought in, you know, governments and big business and all of these peeps. Cause yeah, like really that's all people want. They want just the problem solved. They don't want to debate about it. They just want it changed.
My feeling is that this sentence, "You're not wrong because you make mistakes, you're wrong because you don't make amends," is showing us what has to happen. We can't move forward into this new paradigm that we're hoping to create without doing this on a massive scale.
Yeah. It's responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And if you think about how it fit, there's no judgment here. We've all done it. We all still do it probably. You know, we fuck up, we upset someone, or we make a mistake, or we're, you know, rude or cruel or whatever. And we just hope it'll go away if we just ignore it. And it doesn't. It always lingers and it comes with us. And I think it's very natural human tendency. And I recognize it from
part of shame. It's part of
from being a child, you know. I recognize that when you're a kid, you do something and you just hope it'll go away. You hope no one will notice and you hope you'll never have to say sorry or pay for the thing you broke.
That pain in my body.
Yes.
I can feel that pain in my body.
Me too.
Being a kid and being in that situation.
Yeah. And that is the work that we have to do as a collective. And it's not going to be comfortable, but that we cannot move forward the way we want to until we've done that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a little story about how important I think this is. And so I didn't know this at the time, but I now realize that an ex boyfriend of mine must have been an alcoholic and then gone through 12 steps. Because about 15 years ago, I got a call out of the blue on the landline at my parents' house from him. And we hadn't spoken in probably 10, 15 years. And he just called and he said, "Hey, how are you doing?" I said, "Oh, wow. I haven't heard from you in a very long time." And we had a chat about life and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the call, he said, "Look, I just wanted to say I'm really, really sorry about the way I treated you when we were together. I was a dickhead. It was wrong. And I feel bad about it. And I'm really sorry." And at the time I was like, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'm fine. I've like, I'd never thought a moment about it ever again." And now that I've done that, this was before I started doing any shadow work. And now I'm realized, oh yeah, I was really, really hurt by that.
Yeah.
But that is the courage it must have taken him to literally have got his phone book out and rang every person in his life that he's ever hurt. I mean, I have so much respect for that.
So much. Radical responsibility.
Yeah. So it feels kind of cringy and gross when we think about it. And then I think when we do it, when we actually say, "Do you know what? I'm really sorry. I know it was 2 decades ago, but I'm really sorry." And I did it with a friend recently. We were walking on the beach and I had done something very, very shitty to her when we were in our 20s. And I finally got the courage to say, "You know, I've been hoping this would just go away and leave me alone forever, but it hasn't. And I just want to, you know, own up and say, I'm really sorry. That was a shitty thing to do." So
I think this does feel good. Like, yeah, I actually think, you know, in my experience, and yeah, it feels really good to come clean. It feels really good to own that you did something and you didn't realize it was shitty at the time, or maybe you did, but fuck yeah, you know. And for me, this is another way that we take back our power. You know, like, it's that whole story I often talk about with Robbie Williams. Same deal. Like, no one was going to tell you that he was doing this and doing that, but he would tell you. And I think that that's a lot of the reason why he healed a lot of his shadow, was because he was taking full responsibility for his shitty behavior.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
No, it ain't. And I think my take is always, as those of you who listen to this a lot will know, we cannot expect governments and big business to do it if we are not willing to do it in our own little personal lives.
I agree.
So if we are looking at, you know, the major, like, for example, I mean, you know, a classic example is you have an oil spill and you expect BP or whoever it is to come in and make full cleanup, full reparations, put the ecosystem back the way it was.
Yeah.
Or even better, like, if we don't do that in our own lives, if we're not cleaning up the mess we're making as we go, it's actually unrealistic to expect the big corporations to do it, because they are full of individual humans.
Yeah.
It takes individual humans to make those kind of calls. So that I think that's my interpretation of what I feel like the nodal shift is doing. It's brought all this awareness to all this stuff in our past. And as it shifts into, so what it's going to shift into is the south node in 28, which is the gate of the gameplay, and the north node in gate 27, which is the gate of caring and nourishment. And if we look at the fear, so 44 is the fear of your past, like, catching up with you, is the way that they phrase it in the I Ching and in the Human Design definitive book. And my interpretation of that is, it's not even a fear, it's a knowing that all of our shitty things that we've done in the past are following us around, just waiting to catch up with us.
Yeah.
And so rather than keep running, it's sensible to turn around and clean it up so you're not running from it anymore.
Yeah.
the 28, the fear in this gate is fear of mortality. It's fear of dying before you've realized the point of life. And we're, again, if we take the same theme, I think we've got the next 5 months to turn around and stop running from our fear of our own mortality and look it square in the eye and make friends with it.
Yeah.
And listen to it and to understand the lessons that it has for us. And I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this do this regularly, but if that sounds horrific to you, it is liberating.
It's liberating. You
know, it is so liberating to be really, like, I keep my mortality, my death next to me. It's here next to me all the time because I'm conscious that it might be my last moment. I'm conscious that this might be my last conversation with you, Emma. I don't know.
I hope not.
Well, so do I hope not, but you never know.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I'm conscious to be with it. So that classic quote, I'm not afraid of dying, I'm afraid of not having lived.
Yeah.
We're not afraid of dying, actually. We are afraid of not having really lived.
Yeah.
And it's scary because immediately we're like, oh, dear. Oh, I'm going to have to make some changes.
Yeah. I love what you said. I totally love what you said because I feel like for me it rolls into what you were saying before, you know, like the two go hand in hand. Like I grew up literally with the fear of death. I have the gate 28 with the fear of death to the point that some nights when I would go to bed, I would think about forever, like being dead forever and freak the fuck out. And I turned into a teenager and a young adult who was terrified of death. And I would, you know, I didn't ever want to know anything about my mortality at all. Like I would just run screaming from it. And when I, you know, started this journey and, you know, experienced depression and panic disorder, I couldn't run from it anymore. And I think that it's one of the most powerful journeys I've ever been on because I mean, I'm not like you or like we always, you know, that Steve Jobs story that every single day he would say to himself, what if this was your last day? Like, I don't have that mentality, but from all my study and all my learning and experience, it's that like, well, I can't die. I can't die. You know, my ego can die and this, this body can die, but I can't. And being able to sort of, and the thing for me that's so tangible is because I had such a, like a, the it was so uncomfortable fear of death. Like, so I couldn't think about it. I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't fucking watch a movie about it. Like if anyone even kind of suggested it or danced it, nah, I was out. Like I would run screaming. So I feel like that's what you were talking about with the 44 as well, you know, like I was, I'm going to say forced because, you know, with my depression and panic disorder, I literally thought I was going to die every second, you know? And like when you sit in that for year after year, you have to make a different choice. And I think that I love that. Like where is, and I think the 28 for me has been one of my greatest teachers for finding meaning in life. And I often tell the story about me being down on my knees in the middle of my mental health thing, yelling at the universe, this isn't me. I don't even feel like me. What's going on there? And getting that, again, for the want of a better sentence down or word download, that this isn't just about me, Emma. You know, this isn't just about you, Emma. This is about other people. So you need to sort this out. You need to work it out. And I feel like that's partly the 28, you know, like, wow, because in that moment things changed for me. Things got better, you know, because all of a sudden it wasn't just about me. So I love everything that you're saying and I really resonate with it.
There's profound wisdom in it in the same way that we've just been talking about being able to be with your emotions.
Yeah.
Being able to be with your fears and same thing, trusting that they're not going to last forever. Like I also recognize that fear of death. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. I did a vision quest. I was on my own on a mountain for 7 days with no food. And I really,
talked about that one.
And I nearly got trampled to death by a herd of horses in the middle of the night in my tent. And yeah, the fear of death came up like a really strong emotion. And I had to be with it for about, I don't know how many hours, six, 7 hours, while my heart raced. And the terror coursed through my body. It's terror. It's and yet, terror actually doesn't kill us. It turns out.
Yeah,
in the same way that feeling an emotion ain't going to kill you. Feeling terror is not going to kill you. It's just a feeling, but it's on the other side of it, there is such wide-eyed, innocent, joyful gratitude
that
you're still here. And that is worth feeling, I
think. And it's like you know a secret, don't you think?
Yeah.
For me, it's like you know a secret. It's like you know a secret that no one else knows. Like, this shit's not going to kill you. This is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's a proper secret. That's how my, you know, like so much of the work that I've done and on myself, when I get to a significant point at the other side, like my heart sings like, oh, my God, it's not true. None of it's true, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I love it.
And so if you look at the more mundane kind of expression of 28, we all know that feeling, I think. It's a collective experience of being afraid to take the risk and that becoming quite despondent with yourself.
Because and choosing the struggle.
You're almost a bit like, you know, you're putting off the leap and it can bring you down because you know you need to take the leap. There's this thing, it's like this leap ain't going away. In the same way that like over on the other side, the gate 30 is like, I'm not going away. And the 28 is like, I'm the risk you've got to take.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whatever that risk is with the South Node and gate 28 over the next 5 months, I think there's going to be a bit more of that willingness to take the risk as we kind of move through the fear and be like, if I do die, and I like to give it a bit more of a time frame than tomorrow. Like if I die in a year or 2 years, how would I spend this time? What would I bring into my life? What would I let go of?
Yeah,
because I find that's a more reasonable timeline to like use as a thought experiment.
Yeah.
So that if I am going to die in 2 years, I know that I've squeezed the juice out of this life that I'm privileged enough to have this time around. And it's interesting. I had a close friend who died of cancer a few years back and in her 40s. And she, the first time around it was breast cancer and it was, she got in remission and everything. But then a couple of years later, it was everywhere. It metastasized and it was everywhere. Mm. And so it was terminal. And I mean, she was one of the brightest lights I've ever come across in my life. And she, in that second phase, because the first phase of the cancer was just fight it, fight it, fight it. And then the second phase, when she knew there was no fighting anymore, and they put her on a drug to give her good quality of life till almost the very end. And what she did in those 2 years has legacy.
Yeah.
She created something that's still going, this art project it's called, if anyone wants to look it up, it's called the Leeds Little Free Libraries. We lived in a city called Leeds. And she got a carpenter to create these little mini libraries on poles. And she got local artists to come and decorate them. And then they filled them with books. And there's 30, 40 of them now all around the city.
Well,
so she got this real understanding of the thing, you know, the thing that would make her life have had some purpose.
Yeah.
And so this is the energy that the South Node is marinating us all in the next 5 months. It's maybe not necessarily about legacy, but maybe yes, maybe about legacy.
Yeah.
Maybe like, how would you want to leave? If you knew you were going to leave, what relationships do you want to repair? And you've got North Node and Gate 27 bringing this nourishing, caring, nurturing, balancing energy to it.
Yeah.
So it's, I think nodally, it's a very big period, the first 5 months of the year.
I love it. I actually listened to a astro forecast, can't remember the guy's name, and he said exactly the same thing, that the first 5 months of this year are going to be big and important and expansive and shit's going to change.
I think the 27 as well, it's like you mentioned it very early on in this recording about, maybe was it before we hit record? No, I can't remember anyway, which was about having a responsibility to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You said something along those lines. And I, like, if you think about the 27, which basically the wisdom in that is we should care for others as an overflowing of our own abundant self-care.
Yes.
Like our cup should be so full that there's just an excess of care yeah. just flowing out of us.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, this isn't the logic of that is so undeniable to me. It's so obvious to me. Like if we have a culture, let's think about this. We have a culture of caring for others that where it currently is, which is most people care for others from a place of depletion or lack. Yeah. Most people who are in the caring professions are unbelievably depleted. We as a collective are always then going to be playing catch up. Like if we're not doing it from a place of overflow, and I appreciate there's a journey to get from where we are now to where we need to get to, but where we need to get to is anyone who has the capacity, physically, mentally, financially, whatever, to care for themselves, that is your number one priority. Like it is your civic duty
yeah.
to be as nourishing to yourself as possible so that A, you're able to care for others, but B, no one needs to care for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if everyone who has the capacity to do that does that, then I see so many people who have the capacity theoretically to do that self-care and they're not doing it from yeah. a lack of self-worth or a lack of belief or yeah. a lack of whatever.
Yeah.
So I personally consider it, and I think it's getting over this, what is selfish?
Yeah.
Because from my perspective, sure.
Yeah, keep going.
Well, I mean, of course, we've all been raised by this self-sacrifice mentality. We've all been yeah. raised in that culture.
Yeah.
But I am saying that is utterly illogical.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to build a society on depletion and lack of the individual at all. It only makes sense. And so I consider it my personal civic duty. I have the opportunity, I have the time, the mental health, the willingness to take care of myself and to make that my top priority so that every time I go into interaction with a family member or a friend or a client or anyone, I'm doing it from a place of, I'm good. I don't need anything from you. I gave myself everything I need. How can I help?
Yes. I love that. And I could not agree more. You know, I love what the thing that really jumped out for me, and this is the thing that I love, and I love this feeling in my body, is I need nothing from you.
Yeah.
I'm here for you.
Yes.
I'm here for you. I love that feeling, you know, and yeah, I think you're absolutely bang on. You know, we need to be the primary meaning in our own life. You know, I love to be that person. It happened today. One of my friends has been through a really challenging time, but she's the hero. She's the leader. She's the big sister, if you like. And I'm just like, well, who's actually letting you be the sad one, the grieving one, the whatever, you know? And I love that feeling. No, I need nothing. No, don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about me. I'm good. Let's talk about you. I love that. And as a line five, I love that too. And yeah. I love that yeah. in return. When I am the puddle, I also love yeah, that yeah, in return. Yeah, yeah. Just putting that out there. But
yeah,
I love everything that you're saying.
Yeah. So I just think, you know, maybe like you're listening to this and you're like, I don't even know what self-care means.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it involves.
Go to bed.
Yeah. I'd usually go to bed.
Yeah.
For me, it's active rest. So like last night I went to bed and did yoga nidra for an hour, you know, just guided yoga nidra rather than, I don't know, try and learn something or just deep rest
yeah.
and guided rest. So, you know, find a yoga nidra on YouTube and go and lie down, cover your eyes, make yourself yeah. comfortable under a blanket for half an hour. That might be enough, but
yeah.
you'll yeah. know when you're there, when you're being, when you're giving to others and there's no feeling of resentment or bitterness within you, you'll exactly. know that's like the key.
Or frustration. Like, let's just throw yeah, frustration
well,
in there.
I go towards bitterness, you go towards frustration.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're in your not self theme, that's an indication that you haven't maybe given yourself enough.
Yeah. And giving to yourself as well, like I just want to reiterate, it might be something that your mind's like, it can't be that, it's not that. I shouldn't do that, you know, whatever it is. Like it can be yeah. anything. It can be anything that makes you feel. And this is a word that Liz and I talked about yesterday, because it's one that I definitely want more of, but it's something that my conditioning's kept me away from, is the word indulgence.
Mm.
You know, it's got to feel like an indulgence. And because my conditioning says indulgence is eating caviar and doing things that destroy the planet, or, you know, don't even get me started, I don't let myself indulge in the things that matter to me. But what does indulgence mean to me? Going to the beach, you know? Mm-hmm. Indulgence is just literally, I indulged today and, well, I had one of those teas. You know, that's an indulgence.
Yeah.
You know, and I went to the beach and I went for a swim for, like, I don't know, not long, 7 minutes, and then lay on the beach for 15 minutes. But that was an indulgence. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's the other word I want to throw out there for everyone. Yes. And not an indulgence like, I don't know, I see so many freaking Instagram people, not that I'm even on Instagram, but, you know, like dropping 50K on a holiday in this resort and they've got like, oh, my new Gucci bag. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But that's not the indulgence that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the indulgence of the heart, the indulgence of the spirit, the indulgence. Because you know what? Something I like, one indulgence, and I did, this is my other indulgence this morning. I get up at 5 a.m. I come in here. I've got this beautiful space and I meditate and I journal. And this morning I woke up and I was still tired. So I went back to sleep on the couch. Indulgence, you know, like that's what I want to throw out there for everyone. Yeah. That's how you nurture yourself.
Light the good incense, like that kind of thing.
Yes, for me is an indulgence. The good incense, totally. Or the candle, the good candle that you've been saving. Yeah.
Light it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So that, and it is like both of us now have that expression on our face because it's the feeling of like, I can't believe I'm getting away with this.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I love it.
So get to that point. If we collectively can get to that point, can you just picture that society for a minute? Where everyone is just so full of love for themselves and they've given themselves everything they need.
I feel like that's my dream. I feel like that's my dream for the planet. You know, like I've been saying this for I don't know how long, you know. My whole mission is just to help people love themselves. Love yourself, back yourself, be yourself. And if once we get to that place, like there's no problems, mate.
We're currently in this weird kind of limbo where there's a lot of us doing a lot of self-care, but then a lot of people still resenting us for it and then us still feeling their resentment. And it's like, oh, can we all just stop resenting each other for taking care of ourselves, please?
Exactly. And it's just, but we're in the change, you know, what can we do?
Yeah.
We're in the chaos. So, we're in the transformation. So we are leaders. We are leading with care and indulgence. You go, girl. Well done, you.
100%. That's what we're doing. That is definitely what Emma and I, as probably many of you know, are walking a long way in June.
So excited.
I suspect my training might be like 80% massage.
I love it.
Because that would feel really good and nourishing for my body, you know? Yeah. So rather than like, for some of us, that doing the hard thing is actually doing the soft thing.
100%. I think that's a really wise statement. And for all those listening, I would rewind and hit and just listen to that again because it's true. It's true. I think I know for me, I've always been an inverted commas, well, in the past, a hard worker, you know, and learning that that's not the go. Thank you, human design, even though I'm a manifesting generator. Like I hear all you projectors go, yeah, but at least you've got the energy. Yeah, shit, you don't live in my body because when I'm on, I'm on. But when I'm off, like hit by a bus. Having babies was one of the hardest things I've ever done, having to be on for someone 24/7.
Yeah.
So I reckon, let's just take care of each other.
Yeah. So nodes, good nodes. I like these nodes. I'm a big fan. Gate 21. Coming up, bit of a party in there. So gate 21 is in the, come on, Jenny, heart center. And Chiron's been in gate 21 on and off for a couple of years. It was in there from April to October 21, and then again from February to May 22. And then it's in there for its final time since September until May this year, when it's going to move on for good. I've spoken about this on previous podcasts, maybe a couple of times, Chiron being the wounded healer. relatively new to astrology, only discovered in November 1977. And its archetypal function is related to, for gate 21, if you look at a gate, like what's gate 21 do? It's related to who's controlling the resources. So in the body graph, if you have gate 21, you might be the one that likes to be in charge of the family finances, for example, or making sure that everyone has enough. So my take on Chiron, the wounded healer in gate 21 for a couple of years, is this: there's a big discussion going on collectively about who controls the resources, who understands the resources, who can access the resources, who distributes the resources on behalf of the tribe. I mean, the main resource at the moment being oil, gas, food, money, power, clean water, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, the energy of 21 is all about control, and there's a lot of political, yeah, military power moves being played out in this arena. It's got a fairly strong keynote. I think I've mentioned this before, but the keynote being the justified and necessary use of power in overcoming deliberate and persistent interference. Power, mm-hmm, is fulfilled through demanding control of the environment. I mean, we're seeing this a lot,
yeah,
on the global stage.
Yeah, I agree.
It basically says, go on.
I was just going to say, and there's so much talk about, you know, we've been hearing about the change of the money system as well, like 21 and money. This astrologer I was listening to, he was talking about it as well. I feel like there is this underlying shift in money and finances, mm-hmm, and what that's going to look like. And yeah.
So big changes, I feel, are going on with this Chiron-type activity. I mean, it's the sort of energy, and this can go both ways, right? Like,
Totally.
Like, I'm thinking high, like, expression and
exactly. Yeah. And if we're taking our power back, if we're, mm-hmm, you know, taking our power back by force, and, you know, we're, you know, coming back into our own, taking back our sovereignty, using our voices united together, then woo, you know, like,
well, it's the awesome decentralization of control, you know, yeah, it's like,
exactly
using your money to invest in things that you care about rather than. And actually, if you haven't listened to it, Emma's chat with Elizabeth Ralph about this, about spirits of investing and conscious investing and making sure you're investing in stuff that you actually care about is a good listen.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm talking about this again, because it's been there going on for a while, is because there's other planets coming in and going to have a little party in there. So 21 says, if I don't feel like I have sufficient control over the resources that I perceive I need for my people to provide for them, I'm going to use force to take them. It's that kind of energy.
I feel like it's also about my body.
I don't know. Have you got it in your body graph as a?
I don't. Well, actually, no, I don't. I was going to say it's in my Chiron. No, it's not. I take that back.
Well, it's in everyone's Chiron at the moment, and as in, yeah, Chiron's there.
Yeah.
But it's also about effective management. Like, 21s in their power are excellent at making everything run smoothly, making sure everyone has access,
yeah,
to everything.
She's amazing.
You know? So we all know those people who are very fair and balanced in their distribution, because it's coming from a place of generosity and love and wanting to, yeah, provide for everyone around you rather than a power move.
Yeah, inspiration, but not obligation.
But I mean, if we look at it in terms of like, say, a military maneuver, a certain leader might perceive that their tribe, the people that they're supposed to be kept providing for, that they're not able to do that. And they might make another very strong power move and take resources from somewhere else. So that's the kind of energy that is playing out with this Chiron transit. When 21 is, because of course, I've talked about this before, the or not, the 21 is not just the theme of managing resources and providing from the tribe. It's also poor management, ineffective distribution of resources,
yep,
no one having what they need to be able to get the job done. And we're also really seeing that. Like,
yeah,
if I look at our national health system, you know, the people in there are like, I don't have what I need to do my job.
Yeah.
I don't have the resources. So it's both sides of the coin, right?
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a big challenge at the moment with this energy for who is controlling the resources and are they being effectively distributed or not?
Yeah.
On the 18th of February, Jupiter is going in
to 21 of what of February?
Jupiter, 18th of Feb.
Yep.
So Jupiter's currently in gate 17 as we record. It's moving into gate 21 for a month, joining Chiron there from the 18th of February. And then Venus is going to pop in for a little visit from the 28th of Feb to the 4th of March. So Jupiter and Venus are pretty nice energies. They're pretty abundant and caring. And so I just have a good-ish feeling about the next month or so in terms of what we're talking about. I feel like Jupiter and Venus are bringing some positive energy into this situation of
love
people
it.
Actually being able to manage resources.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't, I mean.
Of course.
Nice.
27.
So resource management, it's not my birthday, basically, is yeah. getting good energy. Resource management is getting good energy is what I'm yeah. saying. And that can you can take that down to your own little life as well. Like, it is sensible to have enough food in the freezer or cupboard yeah. to withstand a shortage, or enough water in the butts to withstand a drought, or to have enough money in the bank to get through a redundancy. Like, resource management is an essential part of life. So
yeah.
I think we're just getting
globally right now.
Focus. Too. Yeah, it's getting focus, really.
Yeah.
It's also a heart gate. And I think it'll be a willingness with Jupiter and Venus in there to care for our wounded hearts. If you think about Chiron, Jupiter and Venus in 21 as a heart gate, just I think what we might also see is people just being like, do you know what? I don't have the heart for that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will also say that there will be the full channel from the February the 24th, Mars, gate of action, planet of action, is going into 45 for 2 weeks, I think, till March 28th. Mm. So the money line, the whole channel will be activated as a global homogenizing.
Ooh, what dates?
24th of February to the 8th of March is the money line.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's on my retreat, but it's not. My retreat's the week after that.
So, yeah. The 45 brings the generous bit of the energy, if you like. If you think about the 21, like, I need to manage and control the resources, the 45 is like, let's give it all away.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a balancing act between how much to save, how much to give away. And we might all be facing that kind of dilemma, like, how much can I afford to give to charitable causes and how much do I actually need to keep my family fed or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Speaking of global conditioning channels, before that, from Feb 26th to the 23rd, we've got another activation of the 35-36 channel of transitoriness, the emotional channel. That was on in December for 3 weeks. And it's back again because Mars was retrograde in December, activating with Neptune. Mars is now direct and is going direct through 35. So whatever might have been going on in December as a kind of retrograde action with our emotional transitoriness, our ability to be with emotional change, is getting direct action from the middle bit of February 6th to the 23rd.
Yeah, right.
So again, this is global conditioning. That's what we're talking about, really.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that in relation to the Rave New Year. So on the 22nd of January at like 7:30 in the morning here in the UK, the sun moved into gate 41.1 and the earth into 31.1. And we begin the human design new year. So I don't know if you've done much psychoanalysis study, Em. I've done a bit, not a lot, but a bit. Mm-hmm. But just to bring in psychoanalysis as a concept. So we were mostly aware, I think, of the big cycles, Saturn return, Chiron return, Uranus opposition. I think my understanding of the official recommendation of IHDS when you actually come or from Ra was you should get solar returns done. So every year on your birthday, you should have a solar return cycle analysis done to see what that year was going to bring you. And we should start there rather than look at the big returns. But anyway, most of us end up actually looking at the big returns rather than the little ones. My understanding from my human design mentors on the way that these returns charts influence our lives is that they add like a new flavor. So say, for example, your body graph, like the birth chart, is the basic recipe of your soup, your personal soup, every major cycle return adds a new ingredient that you can taste for a while. So for example, you know, when you eat chili and then the flavor stays in your mouth for a bit because your tongue's burning. It's that kind of vibe. So it's like, depending on the heat of the chili, depends on how long it's going to be in your flavor, how long you're going to be able to taste it for.
Yeah.
So I think of cycles like that. So big cycles like the Saturn return and Chiron return, whatever, are said to be 3.5 years in, 3.5 years out from the date of that return.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to launch into a massive discussion on that topic. I'm just setting the stage for cycle returns, because what the human design community then does is looks at each year's solar return. So for them, the 22nd of January at that time in the morning is the cycle return, the solar return back into 41.1. And so we get a chart for the year. So if you go on my Instagram, my most recent post about the Rave New Year, if you scroll a couple of pictures along, I've put 2023 and 2022's charts on there. So you can look at them and get a look at what they looked like. So they only have black activations. They only have the conscious activations, because we're only taking that moment. We're not taking the red side from the 3 months before. But we get a bit of an imprint as to what this year might have in store. And again, as a global homogenizing agent. So these are the factors that are going to affect the homogenized world. Now, if you consider yourself to be part of the differentiated world, i.e. you make decisions for yourself based on strategy and authority, then you can witness this playing out without necessarily being all sucked into it. So there's setting the stage. So 2022, if we look back at it, it was a reflector year. So there was no channel or center definition. So they would say generally 2022 carries a theme of surprise and disappointment, like a reflector chart carries the theme of surprise and disappointment. There were three completely open centers in 2022 last year, the head, the heart, and the spleen. So the homogenized world experiencing extremes of thinking about things that don't matter, trying to prove their worth, and being afraid to let go. So that's like how we generally look at a return chart. When we look at what's activated, so seven individual gates were active last year on the Rave New Year. That is the most individual gates on a chart for 20 years for a Rave New Year chart. So last year really had a strong theme of this individual activity. We talked about it all last year on the Transits podcast. The nodes were doing it, all kinds of stuff. So there was really this energy for 2022 of individual knowing or not, and a real sense of stepping into our individuality, and an increased awareness of what's true for you rather than what you've been conditioned to know.
Yeah.
And learning to trust ourselves and not necessarily looking so much for external proof, but just trusting that what we know for ourselves is right. So that was the theme generally of 2022. The nodes at the time of the Rave New Year in 22 were in 8 and 14 in the sixth line. So gate 8.6, gate 14.6. So if we use the nodes as the general environment, which is what the nodes kind of condition, they're conditioning the stage upon which we're playing out our play, if you like. So the general environment, 8.6 and 14.6, was, I think, related to using our personal wealth to contribute to society. 14, power skills, finances, resources, and 8, contributing them. So some of us may have had some, I'm saying this as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, yes, Emma definitely went through this. A lot more focus on our use of our resources and how they contribute to society. Like, well, I just talked about you and your work with Elizabeth. So that was a big theme for last year. How are you using your personal wealth, and is it contributing in the way that you want it to contribute? So it was a tricky year because there was a lot of individual knowing, but those open centers making it challenging to really lean into those knowings and trust them if you don't have a lot of awareness. So if we look at this year's Rave New Year chart, the first thing that jumps out, if you look at the 2023 one, it's very different. It's an emotional projector year. So we have two defined channels from the root to the solar plexus as the solar return for 2023. So the theme, if we use that extension of a projector analogy, will be bitterness and success. So that feeling of projector success, which is very personal and it's very individual and it's very much a feeling of, do I feel like I'm succeeding in my life? Not am I a success based on someone else's standard, but do I personally feel successful? Am I happy with what I'm achieving over here? It's that feeling of not answering to anyone and not needing anyone else's recognition or validation, but that real feeling of, this is me. I'm doing my life. And am I nailing it according to my own standards? So that's the theme, the general theme.
So with the 2022, the 8 and the 14 for me and the individual, like I totally resonate with what you were saying. But the other thing that I felt like is that it was a year that people were starting to trust their gut more, trust their own like experience of life, what they've learned, their gifts. You know, I feel like there was a real diversity of media where individuals were coming to become a lot more powerful in their contributions. You know, if you think of the Joe Rogans and these sort of people who were influencing or being as influential as mainstream media in some places. So I feel like that also plays so much into that. But at the same breath, the being at Reflector Year, like again, totally resonate because it's kind of like there was so much. We didn't know where we were at. Like you said earlier, like we thought it was kind of all done and dusted at the end of 2022. Then we thought it was all done, 2020. Then it was all done and dusted at the end of 2021. And I feel like 2022 was that year that we were kind of like, all right, you know, and I think it might have even been the year that the new normal was still hanging around, you know. So, but in the same breath, like what we thought was the inverted commas new normal at the beginning of 2022 was something completely freaking different by the end of 2022. So yeah, I totally see that pattern. I think absolutely. And then going into 2023, I love what you just said, this theme of success or bitterness, because I feel like that is what I've been feeling. That's what everyone around me has been saying. You would have heard me say, like, this is either going to be a breakthrough amazing year for you or it's going to be a really fucking challenging year for you. Like, what side of history are you going to be on? So I definitely hear that already. Like, I can intuitively, that's what I feel like 2023 is going to be all about. And you know what I love as well when you say that? I'm like, wow, come on, people, wisdom. Like, what a great year. Like, let's not use the intellect so much. And it, for me, it just sort of says like, I mean, I fully appreciate the spleen's not highlighted, but like, where's our deepest wisdom? It's in our intuition, in our body, in our energy. Like, that's really exciting for me. Well, it's, I won't like, move on to the nodes until you've done the nodes, because I like to respond.
All right. So, I mean, if you look at just the general chart, it's emotional pressure. The pressure to feel is basically what is being highlighted.
Yeah, so if you're thinking your emotions, this is your year. The year to transform.
Both the 1949 and the 4130 channels are defined. So that's a tribal channel and a collective channel from the root to the solar plexus.
Jesus, there's going to be some ratchets this year.
Ooh, yeah. So in terms of the circuitry split for this year, it's not as dominant with the individual. There's only three individual gates activated this year, which is 60, 24, and 2. The circuitry split has three tribal gates, which is the 44 in addition to that 1949 channel. And then the collective abstract, we have three gates, 36 in addition to 41 and 30. So if you look at the graph, you'll see that's most of the stream that comes from the root to the throat, which is all about having a new collective experience and a deeply emotional one. And then four collective logical gates, 17, 31, 58, and 16. So it's much more of an even split this year than it was in terms of the circuits that are highlighted, but boy, are those circuits highlighted from the root to the solar plexus.
Yeah.
So it's much more focused on allowing ourselves to feel. And there will be a strong collective pressure to feel the needs of others, 1949, and a strong pressure to do things in a new way, which is the 4130. So I'm excited about that.
I am excited about that. Did you say that? How good are we? Synchronicity. Yeah. I'm excited.
There is a new way emerging.
Yes.
Now, anyone who is still clinging a little bit too hard to the old ways of doing things is going to be in for bitter disappointment.
Yeah.
Because everything is up for a revolution. The fact of the matter is, this planet needs sensitive people.
Yeah.
If we can't feel the impact of the harm that we are doing, we won't be motivated to change it. We know this because we all know at an intellectual level the harm that we're doing, and we still haven't changed.
Yeah.
So we need to actually feel it. And if we can feel it, then we will change. We will be motivated to change. So Neptune's over there in gate 36, working away quietly behind the scenes on our capacity for compassion. And I heard the best definition of compassion the other day from a Buddhist master, so he should know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he said, I quote, "When compassion is present, we do not overlook others' pain. Rather, there is a sense of urgency to end the pain, as if a fire has just been lit underneath you. When you have such compassion, as soon as you see suffering, you wish to jump up and act to end it at once. You have no fear, you have no hesitation in taking on the suffering of others, animals, and even the planet itself. This is what I would call the right kind of fearlessness. This is the fearlessness of true heroes."
Oh, I love that.
So compassion is not
passive,
detached. Yeah, it's active. It says, I will do anything to stop you suffering.
Oh, I love that so much. I feel like that's also been a real thing for me, you know, like, mm-hmm. Last couple of years, I've definitely, I know a lot of you probably think I'm extroverted and opinionated, but you've seen nothing. I'm very introverted, actually, but I am very opinionated. And my need, my 37, for everyone to get along and to feel equally taken care of and supported has meant that I've, you know, I've had a handbrake on some of the things that I'll talk to my friends and my close group about. And I feel like that compassion definition, I feel that in my body. I feel like if I have a platform, then I can't hold the handbrake anymore. I need to find a way to, as much as possible, share the things that I'm experiencing, that I'm learning, that I'm reading, that I'm, you know, sharing my opinions, and in a united way, not in a separation like, oh, did you make this choice? Then you're fucked. No, in a way of, let's really talk about what's going on, not from a place of drama and blame, but from a place of let's educate ourselves so we can, you know, create a better world. I feel that definition so much, like I can't sit on my hands anymore.
Mm. I'm excited to see what you do. Mm. I'll be there cheering.
Yay.
With my pom-poms.
Mm-hmm.
So that, if you look at that as a kind of the frequency that we need, and I know it's uncomfortable to feel and really experience that sensitivity to needs. It's not easy to feel, but it's I don't think we have a choice. If we don't feel it, we're never going to change anything. So
I totally agree.
It's one of those years. So this is why I think you got the nodes with their self-care theme to enable the feeling of the feelings. It's like we know in our bones that everyone on earth, every being on earth, every plant, every everything is our beloved child and deserves our love and compassion as much as our own actual family members. Like, we know that at an intellectual level, but I feel like we're just starting to turn the corner to the point where we actually feel it. Like, rather than just like know it as a concept, we might actually start to, like, the boundaries of delineation of who's my responsibility to take care of, I think, is going to start to
agree. I think it's already happening.
Yeah. I also want to just, I had a politician in this country that I have quite a lot of respect for him, and I was quite disappointed. He gave a political broadcast, and he was talking about getting back to ... whatever it is, language. And I was just like, oh, no, mate, there's no going back. Like, can we stop with this retrospective make anything anything again? Like, it's not the language of the future. There is no going back. You know, we are stuck in our little human bodies on our apparently linear human timeline. Any of this nostalgic rhetoric has no energetic support behind it.
No.
That's why I was disappointed, because I was watching him. I was like, oh, mate, I thought you might have had a clue that you're using this rhetoric. And it's not, there's no resonance there.
Yeah.
So just anyone who's talking about getting back to some imagined glorified heyday of the past, it's not a thing.
It's like, not a thing.
It's not a thing. Everything that was built in the past that we're imagining as a glorified heyday was in some way built on the suffering of the backs of another being. Like, it was built on power imbalances and abusive practices and blah, blah, blah.
Bad shit, so, man.
Can we stop glorifying the past?
Yeah.
And just really put all our focus on this egalitarian future that we want to build. I'm not suggesting that it's going to be a utopia and it's not going to be difficult, like, when we get there, because the inherent nature of being human is that there's some challenge involved. But we really have to be clear about the process that we're going through, which is to build a world where there are not massive power imbalances, there are not massive systemic abuses or exploitations. Like, this desire, like we were saying, the 4130, we're saying, can we have peace, please? Can we have equality? Can we please treat everyone like the sacred slice of God that they are, and stop hierarchicalizing human beings or other beings, like animal beings and plant beings? So I feel it very deeply in me, and I know you do as well, that there's almost this unexplainable, intangible trajectory that we're on. So with the 4130 being activated as a global thing, and I got an example of this the other day with watching someone with this channel running around after every temporary desire that arose in her, and I was like, slow down. That's an emotional definition. They're going to come and go. You've got to wait it out and see what is the one clinging desire that remains for you. That's the one you follow, not all the temporary ones that are constantly distracting you. So I think by the end of 2023, we will have a much clearer felt sense that we are no longer willing to satisfy our own personal temporary desires if it means that someone else is going to lose for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that, because I feel like that is such a the word container. I hate the word container. I hate it. I just don't like the word container because I feel it's overused. But structure, skeleton. I mean, it's a skeleton for the new paradigm. What you just said, you know.
Yeah, it's the bones of it, right?
Yeah, love that.
So there we are. It's a projector year, and my understanding of projectors is that we're here to hold the energetic template for the coming world, and so it's like, the whole year is holding a template. So whatever happens in this year is the template year, I think.
I love that.
So we can take that that's not a powerless statement. That's a fully empowered statement. Yeah. Every single one of us gets to set the energetic template this year.
I love it. Well, based on our doing my bit.
Feeling.
Yeah.
Yay!
I'm in. I'm doing my bit. And I trust everyone out there is as well, you know, like, we're preaching to the converted.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah. I know we are. But we're just making you all feel a little bit less alone.
Yeah. Yeah. We are all in this together.
We really are.
Well, it was fascinating and I loved it. And it also makes me feel really like, one of the things I love about doing these sessions each month with you is, and it's funny, I feel like it's similar with when I do my session with Liz each month. It's that whole, I feel such a deep sense of resonance. And this is what I would encourage everyone who's listening as well. Like, listen with your body. Listen with your body. And instead of the mind being like, oh, I wonder what that means. And what will that look like? And, you know, trying to think your way there, like listen with your body, because one of the things that so often with these recordings, I'm just like, oh, that's what that feeling was. Oh, that's what I was feeling. Oh, that makes sense. I was feeling that. And not only is that powerful in itself, but it's also helping you build that trust in your own communication with your body, with the universe, the subtle energies, because you're like, yeah, I felt that. Yeah, I felt that. So, you know, like that would be another thing I just want to say to everyone, listen with your body, listen with your energy, you know, really build that muscle of trusting what you already know and feel and experience, and let us help you validate yourself through that process, because I think that's a lot of what this work does. It just builds, like, that's why I love human design. It can help us build our trust in ourselves and the universe so fast. And that's what we need right now. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Any last words, my beautiful friend? I feel, you know, it's so nice to have actually hugged you. I just wish I could do it more often. I wish we could sit on this couch together every month, because being in your aura was just so lovely. So I'm excited. I love you. You're the best.
I mean, I'll just let everyone know that Emma didn't hug me that much. She poked me more than anything. She was just prodding me with a little finger.
Oh my God,
finger.
You're real. Look at you. You're real.
I got poked at a lot, but it was really wonderful. I agree, to have met you and your gorgeous family, and to have that, like, our quantum entanglement is just so much stronger now that we've had actual cell connection.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what you said to me that I just loved, because I did my thing where I'm like, I think I actually apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I'm this is my introvert state.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something to me that I loved. It was something along the lines of, well, it's just really nice to see that you're not on all the time, or something like that. And I was just like, oh, you know, those moments where you just feel seen. I was like, ah, oh, that was just so lovely. So thanks for that too.
No, it was a really gorgeous day. I really enjoyed our time together, and I can't wait for more of it this year.
Yeah.
Excited.
Bring it on. It's going to be a great year.
Our little love fest. And I'm excited for all of you people listening. Maybe one day we'll all get to hug in a big, massive group circle.
Let's do it. I reckon we do it. We're still deciding what to do for a retreat in Europe later in the year. So maybe we should do something like that. Who knows? Anyway, on that note, thank you, everyone. I know it's been a long one, but it's been a goodie. Thank you, everyone, for being here, for listening, for playing along at home. We really appreciate you. Thank you, my dear friend, Jen, for being here yet again. I really appreciate you and all of the fucking wisdom that you bring. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
On that note, thanks, everyone. Love you lots. And I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.